A beautiful Wednesday evening to each and every one of you on this wonderful, cool, crisp, non-human night in South Louisiana. It's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast, in association with AndTheValleyShook.com for the best B-Nation blogs, college football blogs. And the Valley Shook is the website. Go Show is the name of the podcast, the name of the website, and the Valley Shook, spelled A-N-D, TheValleyShook.com. The Go Show podcast can be found on that website, G-E-A-U-X-S-H-O-W. Ways to get in touch with the show, goshow@gmail.com, as always. Go to Facebook and search the Go Show and like us there. And also look in the left-hand side of the homepage of Anna Valley Show to scroll down and find the Podtrack player or the podcast player and click on that and listen to previously recorded shows, old show archives. Last show that was up was our preview against Idaho. I am Kerry Muntz in the saddle tonight in Mandeville, Louisiana, flying solo for the time being. We will be joined by Chris Furmeister from collegeofmagnolia.com, our cohort, part of NFL Show, also part of SB Nations. He will join us later to talk about Auburn. But for right now, we are going to discuss the Idaho game. I'm just going to kind of talk to myself a little bit right now. But initial thoughts of the day in whole, to be quite honest with you, I cannot give a full synopsis of the game because I was there for a half. And the half I was there for, I don't remember watching any of it. It was that kind of day tailgating. We had lots of fun, and Patrick, if he was here, could attest to it. Patrick Morris from Ponchatoula will be joining us later. Poser is MIA at the moment. We have not heard from Poser. I'm assuming he's okay. He does have a young baby, as does Patrick. So that's probably delaying Pat a little bit tonight. So hopefully Pat will be in here to save me a little bit here as I just kind of ramble on by myself. But I did go back and watch some highlights of the Idaho game. First of all, let me get this out of the way. News and notes from the weekend. Alfred Blue, as you know, left the game early with a it's kind of a knee injury. He had an MRI, I believe it was yesterday or Monday, but everything's kind of hush-hush. He's definitely out against Auburn. And, you know, his status for Towson, you know, my personal opinion, send him out for Auburn, send him out for Towson, get him rested up, and if he's good to go for Florida in 3 weeks, then you bring him back in for them, because I think, you know, personally, we can get by on the running backs that we have for Auburn and for Towson. So that being said, LSU 63-14 winners over the Idaho Vandals. That was the highest point total for LSU since, definitely in the Les Miles era, but I think since 1997. I don't remember who that was against that we scored 60-plus, but it might have been against Idaho. Well, I have no idea. Real fine showing all, you know, Les Miles likes to say, all three phases of the game. Offense was solid. Defense, solid. Forcing turnovers. Two defensive touchdowns. A little sluggish in the first half. You know, LSU jumped out to a quick lead, as they always do. I think it was 14-0 at one point in Idaho. And we were actually going in to make it 21-0, and Zach Mettenberger made a terrible mistake. And Idaho returns the interception down to like the 4-yard line and scores two plays later. And then we go right back down and score. And actually, the game at one point, I think, was 21-14. But LSU kind of flexed its muscle and you know, ended up prevailing. I thought defense pursuit to the ball was good. I thought we saw some good playmakers out on defense. I think Jalen Collins and Jalen Mills continue to fill in quite nicely at the cornerback position for Tyron Matthew. I think Patrick's with us now, all right?
Yeah, y'all hearing me loud and clear?
Pat, I hear you beautifully.
Oh, dandy. This is awesome.
Beautifully. Patrick, I am breaking down Idaho as only I can.
Wow. You're going to break down Idaho? Idaho's already broke.
I am breaking down Idaho. Now, Patrick, what I was saying before you joined, it's just really not that much to say, but it's been pretty much just giving a game recap, and then we'll get into full force with Auburn as we're going to welcome in our guests here in a little bit as soon as we get Patrick's take real quick on the game Saturday.
On the game Saturday, well, I mean, I obviously this is a game that I decided I did not want to go to. I tailgated all day, of course. Yeah, well, you got to do what you got to do, but
right,
try to help. tried to help a friend out with a date, so gave him the tickets. I don't know how that was, Carrie. But
Put it this way, she had to drive home.
Imagine that. If he fell asleep in the stands, that'd be the last time. I listened to the game because obviously I wasn't paying Tiger Vision. Of course, you got to listen to Hawthorne when you listen to the game. So that in itself kind of distorts the whole thing. But, I mean, Carrie, I think I said it again. You know, we were going to come out big and we were going to cover the spread. We were going to throw the ball. We were going to stat. We did what we needed to do. We worked on a few things. And there's really not much you can say about the game. It was that next step in the progression of, we had the bad – Medberger had, I think, one bad pass down there as we were getting
right. – Yeah,
near that goal line again.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just another progression. You know, he's just the offense is gaining confidence. The only thing I don't like is that Blue got hurt in the game. Which you know, not that we're not loaded at running back, but it seemed like we had established a back. You know, for the most part. Uh-huh. So that's really about all I can say. I mean, the DBs from what you could hear on the radio were apparently going back to those. Remember the old Corey Webster days where he tip it to himself. I mean, It seemed like every time I turned around, every time I opened my ears, so to speak, you would hear him tipping it to the other. It was like a tag team effort out there with the cornerback and the safety. I mean, yeah. I don't know what you saw in the stadium, but that's what I gathered from listening to the game.
Right. Well, and what I like about it is you're not hearing Tharyl Simon's name too much. That's because they're not throwing the other side because they know he's established at the cornerback position. They continue to challenge the other side. And Mills and Collins continue to make plays. And I got to say, the game he had last Saturday, kind of an unknown to this point. We haven't really talked about him on the show, but Ronald Martin at the other safety position filling in for an injured Craig Lawson.
Well, I think Craig Lawson lost his position.
I think he did too. Interception for a touchdown. I think he had six tackles, maybe a sack or a tackle for a loss. No, we didn't have any sacks in the game. I think it was like six tackles and a tackle for a loss and the interception return for a touchdown. You know, LeVar Edwards getting the defensive lineman's dream, tipping that pass at the line of scrimmage and getting it and running that in for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you talk about offensively, you talk about Mettenberger, the one bad throw, still completed 77% of his passes, threw a couple touchdowns.
You know, he's efficient, but he's efficient like, I mean, I hate to say it, the guys last year, they threw for good percentages. But he's efficient in a better way. We're throwing the ball more downfield, more passing yardage, more threat. You know, even though he's not running the option, thank the freaking Lord, you know, but he is a threat.
Every time somebody brings up the option, LSU always look to bring up the fact that I average 6.5 yards a carry. I mean, no. I don't know if you watched the highlights from the game on LSUSports.net. He threw a pass in the third quarter to ODB. My God, it was probably the most beautiful pass I've seen an LSU quarterback throw probably since Jamarcus Russell. It was over the shoulder. It was a beautiful catch, beautiful throw. The only thing that hurt about it was it didn't result in a touchdown. It was because we were so far down deep in our own territory. But he just they're continuing like we're talking about the quarterback progression as far as we went short passes 1 week, then we kind of saw some downfield stuff. This week you saw even more downfield stuff, and you started seeing some more play action this week, too.
That's what I'm saying. They're working on a different aspect of the passing game each week, and it just seems like, okay, now we know we can run that bubble screen. We know because he's got the arm to get it out there quick enough for our players to do something. We know we can run an out pattern because he's got a strong enough arm to beat that DB on the break on the ball, and we know he can put it over the top downfield, and he's hitting that deep crossing route. You know, mm-hmm. So you've seen every aspect of the passing game, which is, to me, you know, in the sense of the word, the first three games, that's what you wanted out of. You wanted to see, okay, what can this guy really do? Well, it proves he can do just about anything with his arms. Now, the other portion of it is, you know, he's got to get more and more snaps in there just to get that comfortability factor with the offense. But he's, talent-wise, most talent we've had at quarterback in God knows how long. And he's got to be a hell of a lot smarter than Jamarcus Russell because my left toe is smarter than Jamarcus Russell.
I think so. Let's go ahead and just transition very, very smoothly, I might add. You're talking about him building that confidence and getting more and more snaps. Now you're looking at his first start on the road against an SEC opponent. A pretty big deal for him this weekend. What's your initial thoughts on him going into Jordan-Hare and how you think he's going to respond to that?
Well, you know, this schedule sets up perfectly. I mean, he came out, he didn't have to do too much in that very first game. He opened up in Tiger Stadium, which is always probably his most nervous moment he's ever going to have is in that, you know, other than probably the Alabama game later in the season, is that first start. You know, you are the cap, you are, you know, in charge of this team. Then you come into a bigger game, which was billed as a bigger game anyway, against Washington. So you took that next psyche step. I mean, we're talking about his passing steps, but he's talking about his psyche steps too. Then you come off of that, and the last game was just to build confidence. So he's got a little confidence. He's got some of the nerves out. Not that you're not ever nervous before every game. Now he takes that next step. Now, no offense to our friend that's going to come on with Auburn, but I mean, we're not dealing with, you know, South Carolina on the road this year. We're not dealing with, you know, that kind of environment. Auburn, at least on paper right now, looks to be a little down. Now, he may tell us some inside stories, which, you know, Auburn LSU is always a game that's something's going to happen in this game no matter what. Auburn's going to play us tough. There's no doubt about that. I just don't think they have the horses to hold four quarters. But I see Mettenberg, he's going to come out. They're going to establish, they're going to get him a little confidence in that passing game. I mean, they can do anything they want. So it's just a matter of Auburn's defense and how we scheme against it.
Yeah, and there's no doubt. And now I'm going to bring in, we're going to bring in Chris Vermeister from, it's collegeandmagnolia.com, correct, Chris?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, and he is a, are you the podcat of that site? Or are you just a contributing writer? Or?
Yeah, I guess I would be the podcat of that site.
Oh, that's not good, but that's not
no, that's not good. Not good. You don't want to claim that.
You walked. I'm sorry. You walked. We led you right into that. But our esteemed producer slash managing editor of Annabella Ship does a very good job for us. Anybody can wrangle up a freaking guest from Idaho, albeit a drag racing guest. I mean, it's
pretty solid. Solid.
Yeah, you're not sitting at the races or anything tonight, are you? Because that would be a classic.
Fuck yeah, we already got that cleared up. So yeah, he's not at Bristol or anything, I don't think. So,
No, I'm not at Talladega Infield.
So, Chris, your initial thoughts about this weekend? Auburn a little bit off to a rough start. You know, played Clemson pretty close, albeit they were missing Sammy Watkins that weekend. Then lose to Mississippi State, then you know survive against Louisiana Monroe in overtime this past weekend. So, heading into the LSU game. What's kind of your feel for this Auburn football team? How do you think they stack up against LSU and go from there? Let you go into it.
Well, going into the season, I honestly, maybe a little blind optimism, but I thought we were going to be a little better than we've been so far. So, you know, I kind of thought maybe we'd be able to compete with LSU in this game, especially being a home game, and with it being a night game now, but. I mean, right now Auburn is so out of sync on offense, going up against a great defense like LSU, it's really, really a bad matchup for us. Because, I mean, Frazier's been having all sorts of troubles. He's had confidence issues, and you know, I'm afraid that LSU will be able to exploit that, you know, force him into mistakes and just compound the situation, you know, hurt his confidence even more. And then on defense, our defensive ends, you know, Corey Lemonnier and Ford, two primary guys, have been very solid. But the interior line has not been great. And so with what LSU has in the running game, that just absolutely terrifies me. I mean, I'm afraid that y'all might pay us back for that 440 rushing yards we put on y'all in 2010. I think that could be coming our way.
Well, what do you think, you know, and this is, I guess, more of a feel for the way the fan base is thinking about the coaching there. I'm getting some feedback just from outside of Auburn people that, okay, well, you know, this is the guy now. Chiznick is facing reality here. He doesn't have that Cam Newton anymore. Is he really the guy that Auburn was kind of way iffy on when he first came in? Or do they still have confidence in Chiznick that, you know, he is a long-term guy for this program? All right, is he adjusting his offense to the new talent, or is he still going with that Cam Newton style, you know, where he could do that with that kind of talent?
Well, the offense this year is actually a complete overhaul. As you know, we had Gus Malzahn from 09 until last year running that spread option, which was perfect for Cam Newton.
Right.
You know, I think that he was born to run that offense. And this year we've got Scott Leffler, who is much more of a pro-style guy. He has a little bit of spread option in him because he was quarterback's coach at Florida under Urban Meyer. But he was at Temple last year, and he likes to run a power running game, pro-style offense. And so, I mean, it really – Frazier, his problem is that he's run the Gus Malzahn-style offense his entire life. I mean, he was a – you know, he went to high school in Arkansas, Shiloh Christian, and, I mean, he's been running – that's the only offense he's ever known, and now he's being thrown into a completely new, like, style of play. I mean, he's never even – you know, never taken a snap under center before this year. So he's having a lot of to adjust a lot to it. I mean, I think that, you know, once he gets the hang of it, he's still young. He's a true sophomore. I think he'll be a solid player. But it's just, you know.
But is he that pro style type of quarterback, or
Yeah, I mean, he's got the wheels and the size to run the spread option, but I mean, he's got a great arm, so. You know, with his arm, theoretically, once he can, you know, get the hang of running a pro style offense, I believe that that he can be successful in it, because, you know, he's got the arm to do it, and he's got, you know, the legs to get him out of trouble, or to, you know, if you want to run any designed quarterback runs, he can handle that too. But I mean, you know, if you wanted to pick which offense is better for him, he's definitely more suited right now, at least for the spread option. But I think that in the future, he can definitely be a good pro style quarterback.
What's Chris? What do you think y'all need to do on Saturday to kind of? You know, I don't want to say compete in the game. But what do you want us? I mean, is it a matter of maybe trying to control the game on y'all on the offensive end and kind of relying on your two running backs? We're not bad. I mean, y'all are middle of the pack in the nation rushing the football, 175 yards a game. Y'all have two good guys there, Mason and McCaleb, both averaging over 5 yards a carry. Actually, McCaleb at 7. Do you think it's a matter of trying to get those two guys involved and trying to establish that and trying to keep LSU off balance a little bit, trying to get Kyle Frazier in the open and maybe some rollout play action type passes and things like that?
Yeah, I think it's all about making Frazier comfortable, and that starts with establishing the running game. I mean, we're going to have to be able to run the ball on first and second down and pick up good yardage. You know, we can't keep getting in third and long situations, because that's just going to be playing right into LSU's hands. Our power running game will be, you know, primarily Trey Mason and Mike Blakely, you know, more so Mason probably, but it could just depend on who has the hot hand. And then Caleb will, you know, he's sort of our speed guy that likes to get around the end, although he has recently been given some of the power up the middle carries. But yeah, I mean, they're going to have to be able to run the ball up the middle first and foremost. And then that'll open up, you know, Mikhail being able to go around the end a little bit. That'll open up a little bit of play action, perhaps, and, you know, let sort of open up the passing game for Frazier. I think they need to, you know, call some easy throws for him. You know, some quick slants, quick outs, things like that. I mean, even the old bubble screens, stuff like that. Just easy throws to get him in a rhythm, and then. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the best way to keep LSU off balance and to keep Frazier comfortable.
All right, and on the defensive side of the ball for y'all, what do y'all think y'all need to focus on?
I mean, LSU, you know, has a great rushing game. You know, I know y'all are leading the SEC with like 269 yards a game or something like that. So, I mean, it's going to be all about, you know, the defensive line is going to have to get some good push, and the linebackers are going to have to, you know, give some great run support. And that hasn't happened at times this year. I mean, you know, our secondary has struggled a little bit too, so they're going to have to step up their game. Cause I think, you know, if I want to talk about Auburn, you know, competing in this game, you know, Auburn trying to win this game, it's going to come down to, you know, we've got to stop the run, and, you know, with it being Mettenberger's first start on the road, need to try to force him to beat us. And, you know, it's going to be about stopping the run.
Yeah, that's, it starts in that, Pat, something I forgot to mention in the, the Idaho breakdown was something that kind of went by the wayside. You know, we lose Blue. We insert Jeremy Hill. He was fifth on the depth chart, and all he does is run for 61 yards and two touchdowns.
Well, you know, so, everybody's saying that he is talent-wise the best running back on our squad. You know,
is this the kid from Redemptors who had to sit out last year because of grades?
I'm
thinking of somebody else.
There was I think he had some academic trouble that he had to work through. So I think that's it. But yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, I've listened to anybody that's watched LSU and been able to go to, I mean, this is not just the homers at LSU. This is, you know, random reporting and all that stuff, that he is going to be, he has the potential to be LSU's best back in a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm looking forward to actually seeing him live and not just hearing about it on the radio.
Last time
I never go to a game.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see how much he plays, because you got your Blues out.
And don't forget, you still got your other boys. I mean, it's not like you've got experience in SEC on the road. I mean, if you got to put Spencer Ware in there to cover some blocks or do what you got to do or run it, you can do that. If you got to put a banger in there, you got Kenny Hillier to throw in a game. I mean, you have your options. So that's not running the ball is not the problem. I think they're looking to groom Hill though as the next big thing at LSU. I mean, the next. I'd say a Dalton Hilliard type of runner. You know, he's going to be the guy.
Yeah, and I guess Pat, the one thing that concerns me going into this weekend is you get into SEC play now. Now we're going to really, I think this would be a first true test of, you know, how good are we in the offensive line now? How much are we going to miss Chris Faulk on Saturday, especially going forward, as we only have one more non-conference game and everything else is SEC the rest of the way. You know, Diakowski struggled after playing very, very well against Washington, struggled a little bit on Saturday, and they had to move Hurst over to the left side, put Nadal Alexander on the right side, who by all accounts, Nadal's supposed to be fantastic, but he's a true freshman. But, you know, say what you will. I mean, Saron Black started as a true freshman at tackle and did just fine for 4 years at LSU.
But I think you're 3 games into this. You're going into Auburn. So we're going to get they're going to get a little more experience here at Auburn. And they're not going to do anything that's going to kill them. They're going to give them their help. They're going to put the back on that side to help pick up, you know, any kind of blitz. So, but, you know, you get to that fifth and sixth game, especially if you've been in a couple SEC games, they're not freshmen anymore, not in this league. I mean, any other league, if it was a sixth game and then you're going into that, yeah, they're still a freshman. But SEC, you either learn or you either, you know, you got to get off the pot. You got to play. If you're going to be able to play at a big-time program like an LSU, like an Auburn, like Alabama, if you can be out there as a freshman, you're probably – I would liken it to being a sophomore/junior in other conferences.
Yeah, I mean, you're going against stiff competition. There's no doubt about it. You're going against guys that be playing in the NFL for years, especially when you get to the thick of the SEC play. And I guess what made me bring that up was Chris was talking about their two ends, their two defensive ends. So I'm kind of – you know, if there's one part where they can kind of – maybe have some success that's on those ends and maybe getting to Zach Mettenberger if they're able to force us into some down and distance situations.
Now, Chris, let me ask you this, because obviously, you know, Kerry and I, we do a lot of breaking down the Auburn game, Phil, let me tell you. But, you know, being, you know,
I called in sick from work today just so I can do it. Just so I can be
prepared for the show today. You know, we're the new Steve Sable, rest in peace there. But the, you know, obviously what does Auburn do on defense? What is their base scheme? What do they like to do? I mean, like, you know, some people like the blitz packages a lot. Some people like to stunt with the linemen. I mean, Auburn's traditionally known for having that one or two very good D linemen that can just take over a game, a Farley type of player. What is it that they do to try and confuse defenses, so to speak?
Well, right now, like you mentioned, Fairley, I mean, that was having a great tackle. Right now, the defensive line, and earlier, it's the ends that are, you know, vastly superior, like Corey Lemonnier, D Ford. D Ford was hurt most of last year, so he kind of came into this year a little under the radar outside of Auburn, but he had a great spring. He's been having a good start of the season. Corey Lemonnier is a future All-American, future, I mean, I think he's probably a future first-round NFL pick. And Van Gorder, you know, our new defensive coordinator, Brian Van Gorder, he'd like to be playing press man coverage, essentially, and then let his defensive line get upfield and let the linebackers sort of control the middle. But right now, thanks to a few years of Ted Roof teaching terrible fundamentals, our secondaries having to back off a little bit and play in a more cushioned zone. And so we're seeing a lot of results that we were seeing last year and, you know, years past, where there's just a lot of space underneath that that opposing quarterbacks are able to complete short passes and just move down the field because we're trying to avoid getting beat deep. And so I think that Auburn has to be able to, like I said earlier, you know, stop the run, you know, get the linebackers in the gaps to support the run, run support. And we got to be able to force LSU into some third and long, some obvious passing down, so that the defensive ends can try to get to Mettenberger and rattle him maybe, and, you know, keep the crowd in the game and, you know, and just, you know, try to shake Mettenberger up and try to let him know what it's like to play on the road in the SEC, that it's, you know, a little different than a Washington or an Idaho or somebody like that in Tiger Stadium. That it's not all, you know, it's not all fun and games sometimes.
Yeah, I can see, you know, I can just kind of feeling out this game from my end. I would say we're going to, you know, you talk about the crowd, obviously, and to what Kerry was saying earlier, I think we're going to just try and take the air out of the crowd. We're going to, you know, not by passing the ball, obviously, but we're going to work our best to establish that running game, work some clock, get those War Eagle fans on their, you know, sitting on their hands and talking about other things, and then all of a sudden, by the time you look up, it's going to be kind of a lull. In my opinion, is it's a lull of sleep game, and you look up, and all of a sudden, it's going to be, you know, a 14-20 point lead without even realizing it, because it's going to be such a that old time LSU slowdown game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what I would expect. That's what I expect to see LSU to try to do, is just try to, you know, grind that running game, and, you know, just try to down the defense's throat, and then, yeah, open up the play action perhaps. That's what I would expect to see.
Yeah, I think, Pat, I kind of have a sneaking suspicion you might see a little bit more Michael Ford this game than you've seen in recent games, mostly due to probably Blue being out. But he's a guy that can kind of get that corner a little bit, and kind of, you know, you bunch him up, you know, you get LSU run, like to run some big formations, and you kind of throw those little pitch outs to Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, like, you know, see some of that. And then once again, you know, else you can see a lot of, and that is the toss plays up the gut, which LSU runs better than any other team in the country.
Well, especially if you're talking about, you know, Auburn's defensive, the two bookends being the key to their defense, you know, I can see us, you know, let them almost push them up the field and run right inside of them, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
In between that tackle guard slot. And that's, if I got two good defensive ends I'm going against as an offense coordinator, that's really what I'm looking to exploit, unless they're going to step that linebacker up, in which case you just roll that running back over the middle, you know? So you have options, but I think at first, if those ends are going to try and come hard up the field, that's where we're going to hit it.
Yeah, that's what I would expect. I mean, if I were playing in the game from the other side, that's what I would try to do.
Yep, no doubt. And should be noted, I forgot to mention this at the top of the show, but for those that might not know, LSU Auburn, 6 p.m. kickoff Central Time, ESPN. So we're Nestler and Blackledge, I believe. So don't know where he's going for taste of the town. Any insight on that, Chris?
No, I haven't heard. I'm trying to think of, you know, where all he's been in the past and where he could go. I don't know. I guess he still does it.
I have no idea. I don't know what.
I think he still does. I actually haven't. I don't think I've seen a Nestler Blackledge game on TV this year.
It's not Vern.
Yeah.
Don't worry, those games are coming.
Yeah, I was about to say you'll have plenty of Vern games this season.
Oh yeah, yeah. We guarantee. Even that's going to be a Vern game, because it's going to be the super prime time TBS game. So
yeah.
And we're pretty much stuck with Vern, I think, pretty much here on out. I can almost bet you that South Carolina and Florida will both be CBS 230. You know, that being said, let's Patrick, let's move on to our pick segment, the Go Show Pick'em. the weekly pick one, which I am struggling, Patrick. I don't know about you, but
Oh man, I did. Well, they had so many just got out of whack games last week. I mean, who would have really thought USC was going to lose to Stanford, who looked horrible in the first two games?
I never thought they would lose, but I did pick Stanford to cover.
Well, you got that one.
Hey, man, what I do? 4-8, 5-7. No matter what my record is, as long as I pick USC to not cover. So, Chris, this is how we're going to do it. I'm gonna run through. We're not going to pick every game. I think we have like 14 games on the slate, but for all the fans that are listening, the picks are up on the picks are up on the site. Just you know the routine.
Yeah, you're going to love the insight here and the way we pick them. I mean, it's real in-depth analysis. Yeah.
So I'm not planning on having too much in-depth on my end.
Not really. That's what I'm saying. Wait till you understand how we pick them. You'll see in a second.
I'm not going to pick all 14 games, but Chris, we're going to pick them against the spread. And I'll pull up the games right now, and that's how we're going to roll. And I'm prepared. I think we went through the same thing here last week. Dead air. Yeah.
We could talk about the podcast license plate incident, which I didn't even know about
I don't think podcast wants to talk
podcast,
about that.
You should have beat his you know what is what you should have done.
I think me and Patrick are going to lynch JJ this weekend.
No problem, podcast. We got you, because I had no. I didn't even when he did that or when I saw that. I was like, wow.
I think is enough is the best way to put that.
Exactly. So. We're with you, podcast. We got you back.
Get the point. Anybody, we can mess with podcast. We can call them names, but don't, by God, do not mess with the Passat. Maybe you do. You know, I can call him the PF4 pimp or the five way as a flag. That doesn't bother him too much. Don't mess with the car. I think he's got his car messed with enough.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, our ode to podcast, our faithful producer. The butt of many of our jokes.
Don't call him a butt.
Don't call him a butt. What? All right. All right. Let's see. What games do I feel like calling out on the air tonight?
You got to keep La Monroe on the schedule always now.
Well, yeah. Well, they are definitely in the pick. I'm not going to talk about them for sake of this show tonight. I mean, they're playing Baylor. We're not going to pick that on the air.
All right.
Let's go to the Pac-12 first.
Kind of a
lofty spread. Arizona ranked 3-0. Rich Rodriguez got that team playing pretty well, but they are going to Eugene and playing Oregon, and they are getting 23.5. Chris, what do you think about this?
I'll be honest. I haven't been watching too much Pac-12 ball this year. I know that Oregon's outside of maybe. You know the obvious SEC teams and Florida State. Oregon's probably the only other team that are to be in the national title hunt. And being in Eugene, why not? I'll take Oregon to cover.
All right, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Oregon here just simply because of what he just said. They're playing in Eugene. They're gonna be on that turf. They're gonna have the ugliest uniforms in creation. And I think Arizona comes back to reality here. So. Too much speed with Oregon. I mean, they may not be an SEC team, but they're still a damn good team. So I'll go with Oregon here.
They're a very good team. But once again, I am going to differ, and my differing opinions have usually come to fruition so far this season. I just think Rich Rodriguez and that new revamped Arizona offense can score a little bit and maybe not hang with Oregon, but score enough to cover 23.5. It's a large number, so.
The only thing that hangs me up on Oregon is all their injuries.
Yeah,
that's true.
So, I mean, I think this could be a 17-20-point game, but I still like Oregon to win some. But I'm a big Arizona to go. Awesome. Moving on, Missouri traveling to South Carolina. Missouri humbled in their opening SEC game. Got by Arizona State last weekend and held. Did the SEC well by. Playing a non-conference game against another BCS school, but this week they got to go to Columbia and face a stout South Carolina defense, number 7 in the country, favored by 10.5 at home. Chris,
I'll take Missouri. I think it's going to be I think South Carolina will still probably win, but Connor Shaw's banged up. Lattimore, I mean, he doesn't look like he's fully recovered. He's not as explosive, it seemed like, as last year.
Missouri's played well this year. I mean, they, you know, played really well against Georgia until, you know, Georgia pulled away in the second half. But I think South Carolina won, but it would be probably maybe a 7-point game. So I'll take Missouri in that one.
All right, Patrick.
I'm going to have to differ here. I think, you know, Missouri's getting a full experience. They played their first one at home, you know, against Georgia. I think South Carolina's going to do the same thing. They're going to wear them down eventually. And the fact that Missouri's going to get their first real taste of road SEC, which everybody knows, and it doesn't matter where you go in the SEC, except maybe Ole Miss because they're horrible. But, you know, any way you go in the SEC, you're going to face that environment. And South Carolina, I mean, South Carolina's still got that aspiration of, they got it in their mind. They can challenge and they can, you know, they pull off an upset of an LSU and Alabama. They can go to the, you know, the national championship game. So I like them to do that. And the one other factor that I like them for is the fact that I want them to be undefeated when they come to LSU. So that's why I'm picking them and giving the points away.
Okay. I'm taking Missouri in the points. I'm not sure the status of James Franklin for this game, but even without him, I just don't think South Carolina's offense is good enough to for me to lay that 10.5. I like Missouri to cover this game. I'm kind of with Chris on this. I see it, you know, seven, maybe a touchdown game. So with that, I'm picking the Zoo.
We'll see.
And yeah, we will see. All right, let's go out of the SEC for a second. The always lovable Michigan-Notre Dame matchup. Notre Dame 7.5-point favorites here against a Michigan team that, you know, other than Alabama loss, they've bounced back and they've won two in a row. I'm not sure even who they played. But I'll lead this one off. Michigan has not played Michigan State.
Oh, yet. No. I thought you meant Notre Dame. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll lead this one off. I'm picking Michigan just because this is totally with my heart, not with my head. Notre Dame, back-to-back weeks in the past against these two teams have not fared well in recent years. So that's the sole reason I'm picking Michigan, not only to cover, but I think Michigan wins this football game. Chris?
I think I'll differ with you, and I'll go with Notre Dame. I was, I think I said last week after when Notre Dame looked so good in is that I don't know if I want to live in a world where Notre Dame's actually good, but I'm afraid that they might actually be kind of good this year. I mean, the defense looks much better than it has in the past, which has sort of been their problem over the last few years. And you know, I thought Michigan State was a really good team, so seeing Notre Dame win that one, I'll take Notre Dame to cover the spread, maybe win by 10 points or so.
Wow, that's a good Catholic boy there. I think Michigan, after that Alabama debacle, has got something to prove. You know, we know that Michigan's whole deal relies on Denard Robinson. You know, if they make him strictly sit in the pocket and pass the ball, yeah, Michigan is in trouble. But I still think they're good enough to cover the spread. It's a toss-up game for me as far as who's going to win, but I think Michigan is good enough to cover the spread. I'll take them.
All righty. Let's move on to the Big 12, where Kansas State, 3-0, 15th in the nation, travels to Norman, Oklahoma to face the 2-0 Oklahoma Sooners. Big spread in this one, Patrick. I'll let you lead. Sooners are Oklahoma's favored by 13.5.
You know, I can't, you know, Kansas State's ranked, but I can't read into them beating Miami up. You know, Miami doesn't prove anything to me at all. It's at Oklahoma. Even Oklahoma always has that one game each year, which screws up their whole season, which this could be that trap game, but I'm going to go with the law. I'm going to go with the odds here and say that they're bound to get one right out of the last 4 years, and they're actually going to win a big game at home that they're supposed to. So I'm going to take Oklahoma, and I'm going to give the points away.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, I'll take Oklahoma. I mean, at Oklahoma, I think that gives them an advantage. And you know, I think they kind of had that screw game a little bit almost in their first game against what was it they were playing, UTEP, that they struggled
yes.
with?
Yeah, at least so.
Maybe that rattled their cage a little bit and got them a little more focused. I mean, I think Kansas State's pretty good, but I think with it being at Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma's good for maybe a 2-touchdown win.
All right, I'm going to go away from y'all here again, and I'm going to pick Kansas State to cover this game. Just based on what Patrick said, except Pat thinks they're going to right the ship this time, I think it's going to continue on. And I think this will be a close game. I like Kansas State to cover that spread. So, on to the ACC. Clemson, albeit kind of unproven. Well, they beat y'all, Chris. But they are going to Florida State Seminoles. And now Florida State here. Now time for them to prove, are they for real? Because they've been kind of a hyped-up team the last couple seasons. Now it's time for them to put up a shut-up. Last season in this game, they did not put up. So now they have their turn to right the ships this year. So, Chris, what do you think about this one? 13.5 points.
Florida State's defense is great. We all know that.
They are.
Clemson, you know, we played them the first game. I saw Clemson live and in person. And they honestly, you know, they didn't look too sharp, but they've got Sammy Watkins back now, which, you know, that adds a huge explosive factor to the offense. I think Florida State's going to win, but I think it's going to be a close game. So I'll take Clemson to beat the spread, maybe lose a, you know, a 7-point game, maybe even a 3-point game, but Florida State to win.
All right, Mr. Morris, I know who you got to pick to win this game because, if I'm not mistaken, the Seminoles were a national championship pick of yours earlier in the season.
Well, yeah, they were one of my horses to go in against LSU. But I'm going to take Clemson to cover, not to win, but to cover, because I think, you know, this is going to be a hype game at Florida State. Florida State, you know, they just can't handle the pressure too well. They have the talent to win this game easily. The pressure is going to keep it close. I think, you know, Clemson's going to come out. They have a decent game plan. They always play them well. They'll cover the spread. They just won't. Clemson won't win, but they'll cover the spread. That's my pick.
Yep, I'm going to make it all three of us in favor. I like Clemson to cover that spread as well. So, on to the game we've been discussing majority of the night, LSU at Auburn. This has it laid out at 18.5 LSU's favor. I've seen it as high as 21. So, but on this website, it's 18.5. So, Chris, I will let you lead off and let you give your thoughts. And if you want to give a score, you can. If not, you don't have to. So take it away.
Well, I could I this two ways. I could go with my heart, or I could go with my head.
Be the homer.
You know, I mean,
we have not had a homer pick yet this season. Even the Washington guy said they were going to get killed. He was right. Idaho guy knew what was up, and we didn't have a guest visitor from North Texas. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah, if I was going to look at this just on paper, I mean, you know, with the way Auburn's been struggling, LSU looks like a much better team. But I think maybe with a little Georgia magic and some sort of, you know, crazy shenanigans that's bound to happen in an Auburn
fire.
LSU game.
Fire.
Yeah, you know, if might burn down a barn behind the stadium or something.
But then again, Jamie Howard's not playing either, so there won't be 5 interceptions.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, the offense was terrible that day. I mean, we did all our scoring pick sixes, but yeah, I'll say that Auburn's able to sort of keep LSU from running the ball all day. We'll focus on that, and maybe Menberg will get rattled. But you know, LSU's just a little too strong. But I'll say that maybe I'll take LSU 24-13. So I'll take Auburn to beat the spread.
All right, Patrick.
Well, I'm agreeing with him on the Auburn 13 points. I think the defense is going to stay focused the entire game, this game. I mean, they lost focus in that second quarter last game. No, there's no two ways about it. When they lose focus, they really lose focus. I don't see them doing that on the road at Auburn, maybe in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. But I see LSU, you know, obviously they're going to win in a different manner, in my opinion, this game. You're going to see more of that rushing game like we talked about earlier. But it's, like I said, it's going to lull you to sleep. And before you look up at halftime, it's going to wind up being 24-27-3 or 27-7 at halftime. They come out, put a couple more scores on the board in the second half. My final score winds up being 44-13. LSU covers the spread.
Ooh, big cover. Yeah, the blueprint for this game is basically last season's. Just look at last season's game film, but add a better quarterback to the mix. And I think that's what you have here with LSU this season.
But they still have David Duvall, right? Oh, my bad. Seemed like he was there for 10 years.
Yeah, he was one of our legacy kickers that just lasted forever.
They got Philip Wilson. We went the whole show with barely even mentioning Philip Wilson Kirkin's name. I can't believe podcast's over there crying because we didn't mention the Wilson. I'm right there with you. You know, I think this the way Auburn's kind of come out this season, not strong. Kyle Frazier prone to throwing the interception here. LSU secondary prone to getting the interception early this season. I think four last weekend, if I'm not mistaken, three or four. Mm-hmm. You know, LSU's back to creating turnovers again. I like to see that instead of giving them away like we were in the first game. You know, no Alfred Blue. I don't think it hurts us too much because Kenny Hilliard's actually leading the team in rushing yards, mostly because of Blue's injury. Who knows? But yards per carry, he's like over 8 yards a carry. He's got 6 touchdowns. He's more of a power back. He's not your breakaway runner. But now we got a new emerging star in Jeremy Hill. You might see a little bit more Michael Ford. You might see a little bit more Spencer Ware. Maybe look for Spencer Ware out of the backfield catches and passes this weekend to kind of maybe loosen up those loosen up that defense a little bit too. Something that Blue's been doing. You might see Spencer Ware in that role again. You saw Spencer Ware in that role 2 years ago, a little bit. So, you know, you got a lot of that, you know, defensively. Same old, you know, it's going to be tough tread for Auburn to run football. LSU's given up 47 yards a game rushing so far. And if they can't run the football, they're not going to be able to throw the football very well either. So, I mean, that being said, I'm Patrick. I like where your head's at. I'm going to go 38-10 LSU and, you know, rest on my laurels with that prediction. So I feel pretty confident with that. A little bit worried about offensive line play. We'll see. But, you know, I'm good with that.
Cool.
So that will do it for us tonight. Chris, from us, thank you from it's collegeandmagnolia.com.
Thanks, guys.
I'm sorry?
I said thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
I'm sorry. Okay, I misunderstood you. I couldn't understand what you said. So. But, always a fun game regardless, Patrick. The Auburn game. My only regret about this game is I'm not going. But,
I went the last trip. I was going to say, well, not this one.
But you will hear us next week previewing Towson as only we can. No Saturday show this week. Podcast's gonna be on location.
Will he be tweeting?
I'm sure he'll be tweeting. So that's what Podcast does. He tweets.
He's a twit.
So anyway, thanks to Chris, Patrick Morris. Thank you for coming in late. They saved me from my misery of having to talk with myself. And that will do it for us. As always, this has been The Go Show, in partnership with AndTheValleyShow.com. And we are done. See you Saturday, 6 p.m., ESPN. Until next time, as always, go Tigers. The LSU Tigers, that is. We're done.